Protect me from knowing what I don't need to know. Protect me from even knowing that there are things to know that I don't know. Protect me from knowing that I decided not to know about the things that I decided not to know about. Amen. That's right. We've started things off with a little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, my friends. 'Tis the season, right? Hi there. Welcome, everyone, to this here Electronic Engineering 42 Loving podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Now, what does one of the best sci-fi novels of all time have to do with board design? Well, I'm glad you asked. This week, we have Chris Banton from EMA Design Automation to give us the goods on EMA's new ebook called The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design. We've got an infinite number of worlds to travel to, my friends, so we best get started. Let's go. Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Amelia.
Okay, so to start things off, give my audience a quick recap on what EMA Design Automation is all about.
Sure. EMA is an engineering solutions provider primarily focused on the PCB design market. We do software, services, training, and actually content now with our acquisition of Ultra Librarian. Many people might connect us with our longstanding partnership with Cadence, servicing the Orcad and Allegro PCB tools.
Okay, so you guys just launched a new ebook called The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design. Love the title. So tell me a little bit about how you guys came up with the idea for this title.
Good question. So I wish we could take the credit, but it was actually one of our partners kind of tongue-in-cheek mentioned it. And as we started thinking about it, I think it really fit for what we were trying to accomplish. We were looking for something that would be a bit of a field guide, not an end-all be-all, but something that could put someone down the right path to success. And the more we looked at Hitchhiker's Guide, which I've read many times throughout my years, and even just looking at Douglas Adams, he's very big into technology. I think he was like one of the first Mac users ever in the UK. He had keynoted the Embedded Systems Conference. So it just seemed like a great fit all around.
Very cool. Okay, so what would my audience learn if they download the book and check it out?
Yeah, so really what we were trying to do is put together a guide to get someone from start to finish to building a printed circuit board that was manufacturable and, be at cost and on time. We were starting to see that, there was a lot of challenges there beyond just the general increase in complexity of designs. We're seeing more and more folks kind of coming out of school with an engineering degree and getting thrust into full-on PCB design, not just the system and schematic, but also designing the board and working with manufacturing. And that's not something typically taught in schools. So we thought we had a great opportunity to help our customer base and just the engineering community by putting this book together. We were fortunate enough to get a great group of contributors that just have tons of experience that we could rely on to put this book together and really focus on the key things that someone needed to know and try to help empower them so that at least they had an understanding of the process, they could ask the right questions, they could get a better sense for when they see things might be going the wrong way because they know where things are going to go down the line. And also just give them a full view of what it takes to get a board done. Because it really is somewhat amazing that so many of these boards are getting done all the time with the amount of things that could go wrong.
Exactly. Okay, Chris, so where should my audience go for more information to download this ebook?
So the ebook is free to download. They go to www.ema-eda.com. Go right to the homepage. You'll see a big banner with the book on it. Just click that, and then you can get yourself a copy.
Excellent. Okay, Chris, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I don't believe I've ever asked you this before. So if you had one last meal on planet Earth, this is the last food you're ever going to get, what would it be?
Oh, boy. it better be a good one, right? So I think it would have to be, my family was big into flank steak, so they would make a broiled flank steak, which is just fantastic, and potatoes, and I'd have to finish it off with just a giant bowl of mint chocolate chip ice cream. I think that wouldn't be a bad last day in terms of meals.
Very cool, and I love the ice cream choice, by the way. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Chris.
Thanks, Amelia.
Now, if you want to download a copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design, I have included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. And maybe you want a matching t-shirt. Oh, yes, My friends, I am giving away t-shirts that say The Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design. So, if you want to enter to win one of these super cool t-shirts, I've included a link below the player. Just fill out a tiny little form, and I will announce the winners in my January 4th Fish Fry broadcast. Next up, let's switch gears and talk about DRAM, cryptocurrency, AI, and the movement toward more cutting-edge memory technologies. Please welcome Mark Greenberg from Cadence Design Systems.
Thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Okay, so let's talk about DRAM for cryptocurrency and AI. But before we get into all of that, there has been a shift from using traditional, more mainstream memory technologies to more cutting edge memory technologies. Let's talk about that first.
Sure. So yeah, definitely we're seeing this shift, right? So people have traditionally used DDR4 memory, LPDDR4. That's what our current customers are using for their crypto rigs, as well as for some AI applications. But they're not perfectly suited for that application. So what we're looking at is people looking more at technologies like HBM or GDDR as a potential replacement for the more mainstream DDR and LPDDR technologies.
So what are the particular problems that you're looking to solve, in particular with cryptocurrency?
Well, so when you're mining for cryptocurrency, you don't need a lot of memory, but you need to get at it really quickly. And that's the difference. So if you're looking at a traditional architecture of a PC or a server, they're really driven more on how much memory can you put in that system. And that's the determinant of performance. So, you know, if you use your laptop, for example, like I use mine, I have 15 PowerPoints open and 12 emails half written and an Excel spreadsheet or two and seven browser windows. All that goes into DRAM, and you need capacity to store all of that.
Sure.
You need to get to it fast, but not super, super fast. What we see in the both in the cryptocurrency as well as the AI stuff is that there's not a lot of memory that you need to get to, but you need to get to it really quickly.
Sure.
So you need to be constantly, in the case of a neural network, you're constantly iterating on weights and activations, and you're constantly iterating that data out. There's still a lot of it, but it's more important that you get it to it quickly than you're able to store masses of it. And the same with cryptocurrencies as well. Again, you just want to get to it really fast, but you don't necessarily need a huge amount of memory there. So it's a non-traditional use of DRAM, and the traditional DRAMs, the DDR4s and to a certain extent the LPDDR4s, designed for more capacity than bandwidth. When we look at GDDR6 and HBM2, they're designed more for bandwidth more than capacity, and that's what we need for these crypto and AI applications.
So what other industry segments do you think would really this new kind of memory be used for?
Well, they're designed for the graphics cards. So if you buy a high-end graphics card today, it's going to have either a GDDR graphics memory or an HBM memory inside a high-end graphics card. And those graphics cards are, in fact, used for both cryptocurrency mining as well as neural networks. The difference is what we're seeing in our customers now is they want to design special purpose chips, both for cryptocurrency mining as well as for artificial intelligence. And then they're looking at, okay, well, you know, we're already using these memories, GDDR6, HBM2, in this sort of traditional GPU-based system for doing mining of these cryptos as well as doing AI. So, you know, as I look at designing a custom chip for doing these same tasks, you know, do I want to look at the same type of memory? And again, you want to look at that same type of memory because it is suited to that application.
Sure. All right, Mark, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. I know you own a sous vide, and I know you like to cook. So, what's your signature sous vide dish?
A signature sous vide dish. Well, okay, I'll give you two. One of them is just doing ribeye steaks, because that's like everybody does ribeye steaks in their sous vide if they have one and they turn out really good. But another thing is Korean-style short ribs. And you get those marinating for a while in a Korean marinade and then in the sous vide so that it's fully cooked and all this stuff turns nice. And then slap that on the grill for just a really hot grill for about a minute aside. And that is really good.
And I'm ready for a snack. Okay, thank you, Mark. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right, thank you very much.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Industrial Revolution 4.0 edition. Please let me introduce you to Space Tango. No, not a new kind of ISS dance sensation. No, what we're talking about here is a new space-bound, low-orbit industrial revolution with a really catchy name. And their goal? To research and manufacture entire systems in a microgravity environment. To encourage innovation in space? No? To build a better space station? Not really. Nope. To improve life on Earth. As their founders contend, by exploring a microgravity's environment and its effects on a wide range of industries, we can better understand life on Earth. Now, Space Tango has some really cool plans to expand their low-orbit industrial revolution to include the very first autonomous robotic orbital platform. But we'll get to that in a bit. Now, how did Space Tango come to be? Well, in 2014, Space Tango was founded by graduate student Timon Clements and Kentucky Science and Technology Corporation CEO Chris Kimmel. In 2 short years, the Space Tango team was able to launch its first operational facility called Tango Lab 1, which was installed on the International Space Station in August of 2016, and now resides in the ISS Destiny module. And only a year later, their second facility, the Tango Lab 2, was installed on the ISS as well, and is also now in the US Destiny module. Now, Tango Lab 1 and 2 are actually fully automated systems with a standardized platform and an open architecture for their unique payload modules, which are called Cube Labs. Now, Cube Labs are pretty darn cool. They allow for many different biomedical and technology applications to run simultaneously and independently on orbit, while also providing a payload management from Earth and a downlink of images and data in near real time from the station. So, what kind of cool stuff are their Cube Lab modules working on? Well, it ranges from studying the effects of microgravity on the mealworm life cycle to observing the behavior and flight behavior of alfalfa leafleting bees. They have also been evaluating the evolution of E. coli resistance to antibiotics in a microgravity environment. Okay, so right now, all of this is happening and more about 250 miles up into space. But Space Tango's goals are much, much bigger. Set to launch sometime in the next decade, Space Tango is looking to launch their ST-42 platform, a fully autonomous robotic orbital platform that will be specifically designed for scalable manufacturing in space. That's right, you heard me correctly, manufacturing in space. They contend that this unique environment of microgravity can actually produce high-value products across a wide variety of industries, from patient therapeutics to advanced technology products that have the potential to revolutionize industries here on Earth. Now, at this point in most broadcasts, I would be a tad skeptical. But with Space Tango's 9 missions, 55 payloads, and 90 experiments under their belt so far in just a few short years, Space Tango does seem to be on to something. And heck, if we can use space to make life here on Earth better, I'm all for it. So if you want more information about Space Tango, their missions, the ST-42, or details about their super cool experiments on the ISS, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. And this episode would be completely amiss if I didn't give a quick shout out to the new NASA Mars InSight lander. Way to stick a landing, little dude. Way to stick a landing. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. And hey, if you're into LinkedIn, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword, EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, that's totally fine. Any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond. Or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 30th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.